Hi, Joey Hudson here. I want to tell you how impressed I am with Sears Garage Solutions. They are the answer for all your home's doors, whether it's garage door openers, or service to your existing garage door. Even entry doors, patio, and storm doors. They have lots of colors and hundreds of styles. Their entry doors are made specific to your order and are the highest quality. Their garage openers are the latest technology. They actually link to your smartphone. And customers like me love Sears Garage Solutions. Like Steve, he says they are a hardworking small business that I'm happy to recommend to anyone. Other actual customer comments are reliable and outstanding service. The technician who came to my house suggested that instead of buying a new insulated garage door, I simply use an insulation kit. He saved me a lot of money. And believe me, I like to save money. And Sears Garage Solutions offers easy, no interest financing and the best warranties in the business. Nationally known, locally owned, and consistently one of the top rated franchises in the country. Call 864-631-2330. That's 864-631-2330 or visit SearsGarageDoors.com.
And good afternoon and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz, and you're listening to 94.5 WGTK, The Answer, in Greenville, South Carolina. You're listening to me. Actually, I'm not here. I do a lot to cover the bass fishing guys, and there's a tournament out in Texas called the Texas Toyota Bass Classic. Is actually this year they call it the Texas Toyota Fest. And this year, it's an invitational. They invite 15 of the top anglers on the FLW Tour and 15 of the top anglers off the Bass Tour, and they go to a lake in Texas and have a fish off. It's no points involved. And when you talk to the anglers, they really like this because they don't have to worry about Angler of the Year points or where they finish. So anyway, Anthony Gagliardi was invited, and Brandon Cobb was invited. They don't know I'm coming, or they didn't know I was coming until this morning. Plans were to fly out Friday and show up at the ramp this morning. And hopefully that went okay. Hopefully I had a good day Friday. 36 anglers compete 2 days, Friday and Saturday, and the top 10 on Sunday. So we'll see what happens with that. Hello from Texas, actually. Not yet. But anyway, I hope you're having a good day. How many of you are down at Shaw Air Force Base today? First day of the thunder over the Midlands. Tomorrow's, if you missed it today, you can still make it. It's an all family, all free event. And, I actually got down there on yesterday and, did the media tour and hopefully got to take some pictures. I don't know what the weather's going to hold or not. Hopefully it did. And I got some good pictures. If you look on the Facebook page, you might see them there. With spring here, you look at ways to get your kids outside, and you look at summer camps, and we've had some summer camps. We're going to have some more summer camps on the show. You look at going fishing, you look at going camping, hiking, whatever to get your kids outdoors, get them involved. And this week I planted my garden, and that's a simple way to get a kid outside and get them dirty. And that's the fun thing about being a kid is you can get dirty. You know, us adults, we don't like to get too dirty. I had Taylor out helping me, and it's not a big garden. I think it's maybe 10 feet wide and 20 feet long. It's a laid off with railroad ties. And it doesn't have to be very much. You know, a tomato plant and a flower garden, just something to get them out there. And it's a learning experience. You learn how to plant something. You watch it grow. You get tomatoes or green beans off of it when it matures and you eat them. So it's a good way to get kids started outdoors with tangible benefits, so to speak. You know, you take a kid out to the deer stand, he may or may not see a deer. You can go fishing and not catch a fish, but you know, a garden, it's getting a kid out there and there's something at the end for him to realize the hard work is worth it. So just an idea, kind of off the charts, take it for what it is, but, it is a good thing and we enjoy it, you know. A good tomato sandwich in June, July is always a good thing in the South. So hope you can find some place to put in a little garden this spring and make some memories together. It's been a couple of weeks since we've done a really good calendar. It's been busy on this show if you've listened. So I've got a few things and we're just going to take this first segment and just fill it up with things to do. And starting right off, we're at the South Carolina State Parks website. It's Plantation Paddle. It's Hampton Inn. Hampton Plantation State Historic Site. That's in McClellanville, South Carolina. Now through October the 31st, every fifth Saturday of the month, they have a plantation paddle. It goes like this. In plantation times, low country waterways served as a network of transportation for settlers and slaves. These rivers and creeks played a vital role in the success of rice cultivation. A guided tour of the Santee River and Wambaugh Creek is an ambitious way to explore the history of the rice culture. So join them. That's it. Plantation, Hampton Plantation State Historic Site, Nature Adventures Outfitters, for a kayak tour of the hand-dug irrigation canals of Hampton Island, one of the main rice fields of Hampton Plantation. That's now through October 31st, every fifth Saturday. Registration deadline is 2 days before the event. You can go to the South Carolina State Parks website, find out more about this event. Another one from the State Park website, Kayaking Basics. This one is in Barnwell State Park, down in Blackville, South Carolina, May the 27th, 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. It says, join a park ranger for an introductory lesson on kayaking. All equipment provided, so all you have to do is bring your sense of adventure. Program is appropriate for anyone who has never paddled, or if you have a little experience, we'll have fun, maybe see some wildlife on the lake, and leave with a memory. That's May 27th, down at Barnwell State Park in Blackville, South Carolina. Yeah. We love food around here. I mean, who doesn't? The Palmetto State Chili Cook-Off, May 28th, 2016. It's going to be a good one. You know, you get chili sampling and judging from over 20 ICS-sanctioned chili cooks, food and sponsor booths, beer and wine crowd, the Growler House, arts and crafts vendors, kids crowd with bouncy houses, and some live entertainment. And you know what? I believe this is in... Oh, no. I didn't even print off where this one's at. Oh, well, Google the Palmetto State Chili Cook-Off and find out. I believe it's in the upstate. I'm not quite sure. I know that the other chili cook-off is in Belton. I believe this one's up this way, too. So, anyway, go find some chili. You know, and Fat Matt Lusk has done some good things with chili here on the show. You know, taste, consistency, aroma, color, and bite. Those are the five things you want to look at when you taste chili. I'm going to skip that one for right now because time is already running out on me. Coming up June the 4th, the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources is celebrating 75 years of providing public lands with a WMA field day at the Webb Wildlife Center. And the Webb Center is down in Estill, South Carolina. It's a great place. It's, you know, old South without indoor plumbing, I guess you'd say. You know, they've got a nice plantation house there. I've stayed in that house. You know, you can get down there and go deer hunting. They have, throughout the year, they have seminars that meet there to go over wildlife management, quail habitat, some other things. But on this field day, some of the things they're going to have is a bird ID walk, archaeology programs, wildlife photography. Some of these you need to register for. And they really recommend you have registration. I talked to them the day before yesterday, and somebody will be on the show next Saturday to talk more about this, but I wanted to get this out there. That's June the 4th down at the Webb Wildlife Center. Charleston, Columbia, South Carolina. More food on the calendar. Columbia Shrimp and Grits Fest, Saturday, June 18th, 6 to 11 at night at the Columbia Marriott in Columbia, South Carolina. You know, DNR just made available. I think shrimp season is open now for state waters, and you can get fresh shrimp from Magwoods in Charleston up at Carolina Seafood in McClellanville. But this one, so everybody loves shrimp, and this one's the best. Who has the best shrimp and grits in Columbia? And you're going to be able to sample them all, judge them. They got a People's Choice division. And the guest of honor is going to be South Carolina's own Marcus Lattimore. And the benefits are going to will go towards the Marcus Lattimore Foundation. So tickets include unlimited shrimp and grit samples from participating restaurants, live music, doors prizes, and the opportunity to meet Mr. Lattimore. That's Columbia Shrimp and Grits Festival coming up in Columbia, South Carolina. Wow. Foothills Branch. Quality Deer Management Association, the Father's Day Field Day. Join us for the 2016 Foothills QDMA Field Day. Ron Fleming of Wings and Antlers Wildlife Consulting and QDMA Board of Director Chairman Lewis Batson III will be hosting us at their farm in Pendleton, South Carolina. Ron will lead a field tour highlighting the management techniques that have been used to optimize the farm for white-tailed deer, wild turkey, dove, and other wildlife. There is no cost for the event. Lunch will be provided, but please RSVP by June 16th by emailing foothillsqdma@gmail.com. And they also got a banquet coming up in late August, and we'll probably have them on as another one of our NGOs here very shortly. So, again, that's just a place to start. The rest is up to you. But put those things down on your calendar or find something that you want to do, and let's make a real effort to get outside this spring. Hang on through the break. We'll be back to talk about summer camps. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. One of the, Huey Lewis, I know what I like. And I know what I like. I like summer camps. You know, who doesn't? Hey, think back. If you're an adult listening, I mean, one of the rites of summer was going off to summer camp where you had a week of terrorizing counselors, your fellow cabin mates, and whatever wildlife you ran across. And it's always a great time of the year, and it's always nice to have someone from the Clemson Youth Learning Institute camps come on, and today we got Nick Panghorn. How are you, Nick?
I'm doing great, Rod. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. It's taken us a little while to get our schedules together because, boy, I tell you, if you're like everybody else, you and I are just busy, busy, busy.
This is a crazy time. I mean, we got I wear many hats at the organization, but summer camp is definitely a busy time, and we're just gearing up, and we're getting excited. It's only a few short weeks away.
That's right. It's end of May already. Which is amazing.
Yeah, we're on the way. June 5th is the start of our camp, and it only runs to August 5th. And I know that sounds crazy, only, but man, I mean, nine short weeks of camp with 1 week off in there for the 4th of July. I mean, it flies by, but the planning is 6 months in advance.
Right.
So we're really excited this year.
Well, tell us just quickly about yourself, what you do at Clemson EDU, and then we're going to get into the camps.
Certainly. I'm the assistant director of residential programming, which is a big, long title, but basically my job is to kind of support all of our camps. We have five sites throughout the state. I also help out with some of our at-risk programs. I work with DSS with some foster care youth. We offer some independent living weekends, which I'll tell you what, have been very rewarding for me because I actually get to go and run some of the programming and work with some of these kids. So it's been really great. We just wrapped up our last one last weekend, and now it's a focus on summer camp. And I'd love to get a chance to talk to you about all the different things we have going on at all our camps. And I'm actually going to be helping out at our Camp Hannon this year, so I could start out with that one if you'd like.
Sure, have at it.
All right. Well, Camp Hannon is in the Upstate. It's in Sunset. It's Pinnacle Falls. It's got a waterfall on site. It's an absolutely beautiful site. I'm really excited to be up there. We take the kids out with all kinds of different activities and programming. Age brackets for pretty much all of our camps, just to cover that right away, is typically 8 to 14. We have 15 weeks and some mini camps where younger kids can come, but you can check all that out on our website, wildlifecamps.com. But 8 to 14 is pretty much our wheelhouse of our ages. But Camp Hannon, like I said, zip lining, waterfall hikes. We have a pond up there that's always cool, by the way. That's the one thing. Summer gets really hot here, but that stream water is beautiful. It's always cool.
Yeah.
We take a whitewater rafting off site. We have a mountain bike course right on our site. We take them canoeing on the French Broad River. We do some camping right there on site as well.
Okay.
It's just a really fun camp. And the kids that go there I always tell people they're awesome, man. They love being outdoors, and it's amazing. They want to sleep in tents and sleep on the ground and sleep in sleeping bags, and we let them do it, and we have a lot of fun doing it. So, that's Camp Hannon, and we pretty, like I said, through August 5th and, June 5th to August 5th, and there's no camp over 4th of July. We let families go on their vacations over those weeks.
I got you. A camp like that where you have zip lining and all that, it really doesn't matter if a kid's ever camped outside overnight or done any of this stuff. You're well equipped to be the first to introduce them to everything at camp.
That is correct. And, you know, that's a good point you bring up. A lot of these kids, sometimes they have issues with doing things for the first time, but once you get them up there, once you get them on the climbing wall or on the zip line, they get over that fear kind of being up high. The next thing you know, they don't want to get down. So we are fully equipped. Our staff is fully trained. We go through all the certifications just to make sure that the kids feel very safe. And it's you know, this is a chance for some of these kids who've never been away from home to learn a new skill. And, you know, it's really cool to see their reactions when they actually accomplish it after they didn't even want to get up and do it in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. Let a girl do it in front of a boy, and he's going to do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and that's a big thing. It's a rite of passage, man. I mean, you got the, you know, summer camp romances where these kids are meeting each other for the first time, and they're, you know, getting a chance to spend time with new kids and outside of school. And it's really fun to see friendships and things relate and relationships bond and are build and stuff like that over the summer. So, so rolling right on with camp.
Yeah.
One of our bigger camps we have, is our 4-H camp, which is at Camp Bob Cooper. It's over in Somerton.
Right.
It's a really great site. It's on beautiful Lake Marion. It's one of our camps that is the most summer campy. We can do pretty much, it's not focused on one specific thing.
Okay.
Archery, they have a climbing wall there, they have the zip line. And my favorite is the blob. It's a big giant air thing that you jump on one end and you throw somebody off the other.
Oh, yeah.
The kids love it.
I've seen that.
Yeah, you've seen those before?
Yeah, those
are great. They're great. And it's just a lot of summer camp games. We do a lot of tag. We have a beautiful fire pit there right on Lake Marion, and they do, you know, campfire games or songs and things like that.
Right.
I never went to summer camp, unfortunately, and I'm getting to experience it as a 37-year-old man, and wow, I mean, it is a blast. So Camp Bob Cooper is a little bit bigger. There's a lot more space there.
Okay.
So it's a lot easier for us to accommodate more children throughout the summer. And we have a lot of other things that go on at Cooper as well. We have rental groups that come in and things like that. So it is a buzzing campsite.
Okay.
And we love having a lot of people there. So
when you say a lot of people, how many kids will be at Bob Cooper?
Our camps all vary. Hannon, like what I was just saying was that Hannon's not terribly large. The numbers are a little smaller, 20 to 25 kids, which is great for adventure because you can focus on things a little more. But when we're at Cooper, we're talking, you know, they serve 550 kids throughout the summer.
Wow.
So over the course, I mean, it's, you know, between 75 and 80 kids per session.
Okay.
It's a pretty good number, but we could have a rental group there of like, you know, 200-300 people that are there renting out other parts of the place. So, and a lot of times they'll intermingle with each other, and it's, you know, it's just a really good harmonious thing that goes on there. And it's fun to be there because the staff's amazing. They're able to run all those programs together and get people through the dining facility and go through all that. It's really fun to watch.
And where are we going next?
We are going to Wildlife, which is also on Camp Bob Cooper. Those two programs run simultaneously with each other, but Wildlife is awesome. Wildlife is fun if you like shooting sports.
That would be.
We give these kids options. Is that you?
That's me.
That's you. Okay. We found your camp. So we got a young Roger attending Wildlife. But if you love archery, if you love sporting clays, ATVs, you know, we teach it's Wildlife kind of outdoor. It's a little bit different than Hanning, not in the mountains, but. You know, we teach these kids, they sleep in yurts, and they love these yurts. They're just like a big, giant, you know, circular thing with canvas on them. They love sleeping in them. But I've gone out there before. I haven't shot a whole lot in my life, and I've got a chance to shoot out there. The kids get a chance to just shoot a number of, to shoot as much as they want.
Right.
It's pretty amazing. We also, with Wildlife, we also do Camp Wildlife Advance, which is in our at Backwoods Quail Club.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That place is even more amazing. Have you ever been there, ever heard of it?
I have.
Okay, well, that place is actually amazing to the sense that all they do there, Roger, is shoot. I mean, I went over there, and those kids, there's thousands around today. There's all kinds of different setups for them. It's just amazing. I mean, if your kid is interested in that, and we teach gun safety, we have the DNR come out, and they give them their hunter safety license. It is a really cool opportunity for kids to learn about being safe with a firearm, and then for the kids that have already been using firearms, for them to get an advanced training in how to use one. So. I like Wildlife a lot. It's a little bit different than Hannon, but again, those kids are really fun to be with because they're so comfortable with it, and I don't shoot. These kids, half the time, they shoot way better than I do. It's pretty funny.
And you know, with the explosion of shooting sports in high schools,
this
is one of those camps. If you think you might want to get into your high school sporting clays team or whatever, this would be a good place to start.
It is, and there's a lot of the folks that run the Quail Club. You know, you go out there and you get to watch some of these guys, and they, I mean, these guys are amazing. This is what you're watching on ESPN.
Yep.
It's a really high end facility, and there's a lot of really good people there. So that is wildlife, and it's as Hannon, it's a place where, you know, your kid's probably going to want to have somewhat of experience, but we do have first timers come, so it's not only the kids, but we do get a lot of kids that have shot before and are pretty comfortable with it. So.
Cool.
We'll roll right into the next one.
Go ahead.
I like to go to the coast. Camp
Sure.
Stewie. I just was there for we do outdoor educational programs in the spring, and I just was there with one of the groups that was over there, and it's just so much fun. Camp Stewie is all about marine science.
Yep.
Carrie Ann Taylor is our director over there. She's a marine science major. She knows all about it. We do a lot of, we go to the, take them to the salt marsh, we take them to the water park, the aquarium, we do kayaking, tubing, but the beauty of it is we take them out of the intercoastal waterways and we show them, take them to the barrier island.
Sure.
Last time I went out with them, we saw dolphins, there's actually was an alligator. We had that alligator that was in a freshwater pond, we were, you know, 50 yards from it, we could see him. Just so amazing. I actually took my foster care kids there. That's why we were there as well.
Okay.
And they, for them getting to see something like that, some of these kids that I took on my foster care program, they had never even seen the ocean before. So to get to see kids experiencing that for the first time was just so amazing. But this is what summer camp does for 9 straight weeks. Now, Stewie is really, really packed. It always fills up very quickly.
Okay.
And they actually run all summer. They don't have a break in July. So the July 4th weekend, they go right through it.
Okay.
So you have an opportunity for 9 sessions with them. But again, if you're interested in that kind of stuff, or if you just want to spend some time on the coast, you know, Camp Stewie is the place to be. It's in Awandaw, a little bit north of Charleston, but, it's a really cool place. It's a much different experience than our other camps. And, you know, the kids really enjoy it because it does fill up very, very quickly.
And when you go to the coast like that and you drop your kid off a week, don't be surprised when they come back and say, I love the smell of Pluff mud.
That's true. I know it. They, you know, the kids, that's one of those kids thing. They go down to that salt marsh and they wipe it all over their faces and they fall down in it and they laugh and they joke. And that stuff doesn't smell pleasant, but they're having the time of their lives.
That's right.
You know, it's really exciting. So, yeah, you can check out some of the pictures online. It's pretty funny on our Facebook. They actually have a lot of really funny pictures. So,
all right.
Well, the last one that we have is one that kind of is dear to me because I'm a pretty big Lego fan is our Camp Voyager. And that's in the upstate. In Pickens, that's actually at our headquarters. And these guys, you know, this camp is typically geared more towards male, but we do have a couple of co-ed weeks in there.
Okay.
They do Lego robotics. They do the climbing wall. We have a blow-up water slide that's epic that I've not got a chance to go on, but I'll try this summer. We have our ropes course, our climbing wall there as well, and paintball. So they get to do a little bit of outdoor activity, but also indoor. We have them playing Xbox and things like that. So these are the guys that are, you know, probably going to end up someday being the guy that makes a new app that, you know, makes millions of dollars on some new app. These guys are the electronic guys. They know how to use them. And, you know, that's kind of me, to be honest with you. I'm the marketing guy here. And a guy the other day was just telling me, Nick, I never see you without your GoPro in your hand or something, filming something. But so this place holds dear in my heart. But, Voyager is a lot of fun. It's a chance for these kids to experience something outdoors as well as indoors. So
great.
So that's it, man. That's wildlife camps in a very quick nutshell.
How do they find you on the web if they want to go and look at more pictures and get more information, Nick?
More information. Wildlifecamps.com. We have a new interface there. They can register their kids right there. We are filling up very quickly. I mean, we are inside the 30-day window. We are only got a couple of weeks left before we're ready to go. So they can get frequently asked questions. They can register their kid there. They can pay their there. They can. There's all our contact information to all the camps is right there.
Right.
So navigate that, and you can also check out our Facebook pages. We have Facebook pages for every single camp that we have to get more pictures, more ideas of what goes on.
Cool, Nick. Thanks for coming on, bud.
Roger, appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
You do the same. There you go. Sign them up. Get them outside.
WGTK, the answer.
And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. If you're like most people, you know, the weather's getting warm and you're thinking about the lake and you're pulling your boat out and making sure it runs right, and something we forget, a lot of us boaters forget, some of us new time boaters, don't even think about it from the beginning, but that's boater safety. It's a huge thing. Every year we'll read about accidents on our local lakes and people getting hurt, people getting killed, some of which is preventable and some are just accidents that are just going to happen. But it's never too early to start planning for being out on the lake and boating safety. And as always on the show, when you can pick up the phone and call somebody who knows what they're talking about, who is a has got it near and dear to their heart, and that's Lieutenant Corporal Henry Barnett. He's the Regional Education Coordinator for the upstate counties, Oak, Coney, Pickens, Anderson, all. Henry, how are you this morning?
Doing great, Roger. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Pulled my boat out the other day myself. I got to do a little bit of wiring and all and get it running and back out on the water. But boating safety, it's a huge thing, whether you're experienced boater, whether you just went out and bought one at the last boat show, is something we all need to think about. And you're the person we need to talk to help us figure out rules of the road, what to do, what not to do, and some things that you might not think about while you're out on the water.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's, as you mentioned, we're probably all a little rusty from the off season, and got to hone our skill sets and dust it off and make sure that boats are operable and our safety equipment's there in place. So yeah, we've all got to tune up and get ready for the summer.
Well, you know, one of the questions I get a lot, and I've covered it earlier this year, back in, I believe it was early April, what is the law on boater education here in South Carolina?
Right now in the state of South Carolina, for a person under the age of 16 to operate a vessel that's powered by 15 horsepower motor or greater,
okay,
they're going to have to take an approved boater education course before operating without supervision. In essence, if they're operating a vessel less than 15 horsepower,
right,
they're okay.
Okay.
If they've got an adult on board, they're okay.
Okay.
That adult has to be on board. It can't be in sight or in shouting distance. They've got to be on board with them.
Okay. All right. Now you actually teach some of the boating safety courses, don't you?
Yes, sir. I do. And Eric Quinn, Lance Corporal Eric Quinn over out of Cherokee County does the same here in the upstate as I do.
Okay. You got some of those for those parents who went, uh-oh, Junior, you got to have a boater education course. Do you have some of those coming up?
Yes, sir. I've actually got one the 21st of May, which will probably be when this is airing, but
right,
down at Edgefield at NWTF. But come Monday, May 23rd, over at Cabela's.
Okay.
From 5 to 9, it's going to be a two-day event. I think it'll probably run May 23rd and 24th.
All right.
At Cabela's from 5 to 9 there in Greenville.
Okay.
Again, May 28th, over at New Prospect Fire Department in Inman. That's Saturday, May 28th, from 9 to 3.
Okay.
Again, June 11th, got one down in, the folks listening down in Greenwood at Piedmont Tech. And then at the Clemson DNR office, June 11th, which
okay,
is a Saturday.
All right.
So starting to, school getting out, we're going to throw some in weekdays.
Okay.
Got one in Seneca at Foothills Community Church on Thursday, June 6th. Again, it's going to run from 9 to 3.
Okay.
So there's an assortment of them there.
All right.
Not to go through the full list, but they can go to our website, www.dnr.sc.gov, click on education, and you'll see a little boater education icon there to the right of the page. Click on that, put your zip code, it'll show you a calendar and show you a number of classes that are available to you within a 50-mile, 75-mile distance.
Okay.
So,
but
all those are free, too.
Okay. But stress, this is, boating safety is not just for those that are required to have it. It's not a bad thing for all of us to have it.
That's correct. It's common sense, safety operation, good seamanship, and it's just a responsibility that we as boaters and outdoor sportsmen need to be aware of.
One of the big things that you hear a lot about and when you're driving is rules of the road, but there are rules of the road for the water too.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. There are regulatory markers there in place. talking about no wake or exclusion areas where boats are disallowed, you know, swimming areas at various state or county parks. So, yeah, they're assortment of things. Who's got the right of way? You know, what do I do to take those safety measures, you know, if I do encounter a problem? So there's a multi facet of things that we need to be aware of as boaters.
Well, let me ask you. I'm a student in your class, and I raise my hand and I say, there's a sailboat coming out at me. He's under sail, doesn't have his motor engaged. Who's got the right of way?
Well, he's got the right of way because he's an unpowered vessel, in essence, and you're a powered vessel, most probably. So you're going to yield right of way to him. So rather than go in front of him and you know, chance impeding his direction, best thing is throttle down and just come around the backside. You know, again, you want to be a clear distance. If the waterway is such where it's kind of big, tight quarters, then, you know, there again, exercise that good seamanship, throttle down to idle speed, come past him, and then throttle back up once you're free and clear.
Gotcha. What are some of the other things boaters can do out on the water to avoid accidents?
As I said, you know, practicing good seamanship, being courteous out there. You know, we're all out there to have a good time, and sometimes it gets a little congested, and we get a little aggravated, and, you know, best thing is just to, you know, fall back on our patience and exercise good seamanship. You know, a simple element to success out there on the water is maintaining a proper lookout.
Okay.
You know, we see that in so many boating incidents through the summer. Folks come out there to, you know, tube, water ski, whatever, just ride in the boat and enjoy the day. But so many times when we're doing an investigation, the common cause for collision out there is just failure to maintain proper lookout, not paying attention to where they're going, to consume with the conversation in the vessel, or the music, or, you know, the scenery around them or whatever. But they're just not looking over the bow of the boat to maintain proper lookout. But again, safe speed.
Okay.
There are a lot of factors there when we talk about speed. You know, it's weather, the traffic congestion around you, the experience of the operator. So there are a number of factors there. We don't have speed limits set on the water, you know, day and night. Some folks are more comfortable to run at a higher speed at night than others. And you know, that's true during the day as well.
Right.
So there are a number of factors there that people just have to recognize and know what their comfort zone is and operate within that safe range.
You know, my dad used to tell me when I was driving, he said, keep your head on a swivel, and I expect that would apply to boating too.
It certainly does. You know, those boats don't have brakes.
No.
And you've got to be very attentive to what's going on around you because you as the operator, you're the captain of that vessel. It's as simple as it might be the kayak or canoe. You as the captain, you're responsible for the safe operation of that vessel. You're responsible for the occupants in that vessel. You know, if you got somebody in tow back there, you're in control. You're in charge of that power source, and you're responsible for those folks. So it's very important that you know, we're all about folks having a good time out there, but first and foremost, we want them to do it in a safe manner.
And nothing is more important than life jackets, and not just any life jackets, but life jackets that fit. Talk to us a little bit about life jackets, what you need to have, and sizes, too.
That's true, Roger. Those life jackets are so important. We stress that when we have opportunities to come into schools and talk to the kids. You know, because sometimes, you know, especially when they start to get to be 12, 13, 15 years of age, it's not cool to have a life jacket on.
Right.
And we as officers, when we're out there patrolling, we've got a life jacket on. You know, we're out there working by ourselves. And it's very important if we were to have a medical emergency, or if we were to hit an underwater obstruction as a boat operator ourselves, we're going to have our safety lanyard attached. So,
right.
You know, hopefully those elements are going to fall into place, but having that life jacket on is very essential. And as you noted, too, for that life jacket to be size appropriate is so important. You know, so many times we'll come across a family on the water and a young child might have on like a what might appear to be a adult 2X life jacket. It's going to be buckled up. And you can just see how large it is on the child. And we try not to, you know, embarrass the child or make it a bad experience for them, but we'll ask them to come over and hold your hands up over your head, and we'll take our fingers and just lift up the shoulders of that to show the parents, grandparents, whoever, the adults on board, how simple it was for that child to slide through that. And in essence, that's what's going to happen when they hit the water, because there's not a leg strap there restraining the child into the life jacket. It's too large, so the life jacket's going to ultimately float, and the child, if he's unable to swim, he's going to go underwater. So it's very important, you know, from year to year to check your life jackets out, quantity. Again, they'd be size appropriate. These kids, you know, if you've got a 4 or 5 year old, you know, from last summer, they've grown probably a little bit through the year.
Right.
So they need to step up and buy a life jacket that's size appropriate. The key of these life jackets also is to note when you're purchasing, it'll explain to you, be it infant, youth, adult, it'll explain chest size or weight in there. So that applies. You want them to be, they'll have certification by Underwriters Laboratory and Coast Guard approved.
Okay.
And those are very essential elements, because sometimes we'll see big box stores sell something by visual appearance, looks like a life jacket, but when you open it up and you read the little segment that's sewn into the back of the item, it says a flotation aid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, they've got your money there.
Yeah.
But, you had intentions of buying a life jacket, and truthfully what you acquired was a flotation aid, which doesn't meet the standards set by Underwriters Laboratory or Coast Guard.
I gotcha.
Very, very important to be aware of that when they do buy these things, because they can color them up and put cartoon characters on them and make them look very appealing. But in essence, it's not a life jacket. It's a flotation aid. So that's something we as consumers need to be aware of when we look at those.
Rules on drinking and boating.
Yes, sir. today's times are changing, but you'd be surprised the number of days when we're out on patrol and we go out there and we come across boats and we see alcohol. Majority of the time, we see folks are responsible and they've got a designated operator.
Okay.
Their weekends, we go out there, and as an officer, you reflect back on the weekend and you think, I didn't stop a boat out there today, or yesterday I didn't see any alcohol. So, you know, folks know that, you know, that's not a necessary, that's not a required element to have a good time. But when folks do make that decision to introduce alcohol onto their vessel, we certainly encourage them to be responsible and make those good decisions. You know, as we know, here in the state, our DUI is our boating under the influence. It's the same as driving under the influence as a car or truck on the roadways, but it has a standard of 0.08.
Okay.
You know, an operator, you can have alcohol on your boat. That's fine. The operator can have an alcoholic beverage. Okay.
Okay.
When we make contact with that captain, we make contact with that vessel, we walk through our safety inspection, our conversations with that captain, and we're simulating, we're watching his movements, his conversation with us, his mannerisms, his speech, how he's handling himself to determine if his faculties are impeded or impaired, you know, be it by alcohol or prescription meds. You know, that's an element of a DUI as well.
Okay.
But we're watching that, you know, and probably some of your listeners are very familiar with the fact, you know, you can have one beer today out here, be on the lake, and you're out there and you haven't eaten, and just the heat of the day,
yes,
the humidity, that one beer, we see, you know, it's shown through tests that that one beer can assimilate to be the effect of 2 to 3.
Wow.
So there's an increased element there. And so folks need to be, you know, aware of what their limits are. You know, it's, as I said, it's within bounds for that operator to have an alcoholic beverage, but it's got to be within that range, less than 0.08. Penalties, you know, a DUI, a simple DUI.
Okay.
Faces up to 3 years in imprisonment.
Okay.
With a monetary fine of $6,000.
Wow.
That's an attention getter.
Yeah.
That person, their boating privileges are suspended for a year. Or, excuse me. It's actually suspended indefinitely until they successfully complete ABSAP, which is an alcohol drug, you know, treatment course.
Okay.
And then successfully complete a South Carolina boater safety class. Okay.
Okay.
From time to time, we see folks, we've charged and been convicted on a DUI, and they just elect not to go through ADSAP, and they elect not to have a boater ed course. And that's fine, but if they do ever come back out on the water and elect to operate that vessel and are checked and cross-referenced and found to be in operation, they're operating under suspension. So they just made something bad a lot worse.
Yeah.
You know, when we talk about DUIs, we see, too, you know, the times that we have property damage or injury to others.
Right.
You know, and, you know, we you know, hate to see those, but certainly folks need to understand, too, they carry a super penalty, but it carries a monetary fine up to $25,000 and imprisonment up to 25 years.
Wow.
So that's a real attention getter and something to be aware of.
It is. Well, Henry, I appreciate you taking time to come on the show. Any got about a minute left. Anything you want to hit on in the end?
No, sir. Just we encourage folks, we want them to have a good time, enjoy the resources that we're blessed with here in the state of South Carolina. We're so fortunate to have the beautiful waterways and coastline and rivers and lakes that we do have. And so we just want to enjoy it and be good stewards of it and be responsible when we get out there in the public. A lot of people have the same thing in mind some days. They want to come to the lake and kind of beat off the heat and enjoy the good waters that we have. But likewise, we just encourage them to operate in a safe manner and be aware of those folks around them and be safe. And
all right.
That just helps us do our job.
All right. Appreciate it, Henry. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, man. Thank you, Roger.
Okay, out. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's been a Huey Lewis kind of day today. And like everybody else, I could use a couple days off. You know, it's been another busy show. They always seem to be when you got good guests on. Yeah, I was talking to Henry, after our recording session this week, and he was telling me in 1973, had 128,000 registered boats in South Carolina, had 64 deaths. Now we've got about 490,000 registered boats, which would include PWCs, sailboats with motors and regular boats. And we had 19 deaths. So that's really good statistics wise, but it's like you were saying, you know, for those 19 people that died, how many families, extended families, friends and all were affected. So it's just a reminder just to be careful out there when you're out on the water. You're out there to have fun. You know, everybody's out there to have fun. Some people are out there fishing, some people out there tubing, some people out there skiing, some people just out there sitting. You know, it's all about fun. So in the vein of having fun, just be courteous to everybody else. That's all it boils down to. And keep a good lookout. I mentioned the Palmetto State Chili Cook-Off. I apologize for this. It is in Fountain Inn, South Carolina. I knew it was up here close, and the page that I had printed out for the calendar just didn't have what I needed on it. So I apologize for that, and apologize to the Palmetto State Chili Cook-Off people. Okay, if you have not seen this or not seen this story, This is for all you people out there who don't understand what the wild part of wildlife means. Okay? Yellowstone National Park. People out there saw a baby bison calf. Thought it was cold. Put it in the back of their car and took it to the park headquarters. Okay? Now, the first problem with this is you don't approach anything baby in the wild because mom is usually somebody somewhere close by and could really, you know, a bison could, you know, end your life. They take it to the ranger station or whatever. Just leave it alone. You know, wildlife is there. Hey, look, enjoy it. Take a picture. You know, have fun with that. Stay away from it and leave it like you found it. Well, the crux of the matter issue is the calf now, the herd would not take it back in and the calf was wandering in and out of traffic. And so they had to put it down. So just, you know, when we did this segment on fawns the other day, you know, if you find a fawn and your first impact in, you know, it's there by itself, it's huddled up, it's not moving and you think it's been abandoned. No, it hasn't, you know. When the fawns get bigger, they move around, decide where they want to hang out for the day. Mom goes off and she comes back very few times because she leaves the scent trail that'll bring predators to the fawn. The fawn itself really doesn't smell at that time in its life. So when you find a fawn, just leave it alone. It's not lost. Take a picture. Enjoy being that close to nature, but leave it alone. The end of this story is the feds have cited a Canadian man, who did this. There's a warrant out for him. And, you know, it's just an example of, I think our society has moved so far away from knowing. I mean, you see this every year, you know, guys getting chased by bull elk during the rut. And now you've got, you know, people touching bison in Yellowstone. And, you know, we got elk in North Carolina. Trust me, during the rut, don't go near those bull elk. They'll pound you into the dirt. So it's just, you know, wildlife is wild. Leave it alone, you know. You can't always rescue everything and, you know, nature is cruel sometimes and that's just the way it is. But, just think before you do. That's all. So a friend of mine came up with some national park rules for tourists. Number one, do not feed animals. Two, do not touch the animals. Three, do not approach the animals. Four, do not ride the animals. And five, do not put animals in your car. And he asked for the last one. I can't believe we need to tell you this rule. So anyway, go enjoy wildlife. Have fun, but, leave it alone. Wow, it's been a great show. You know, one thing we didn't do on the boating safety was a float plan. And we talked, you know, that's where you write down where you're going to be and you tell somebody. The same thing we do when we go hunting. Let somebody know where you're going to be. And the thing about that is you get lost, you have an accident, something beyond your control. Somebody knows where to come find you. Chuck Norris for this week. Let's see. Do you know Chuck Norris actually died 4 years ago? But the Grim Reaper cannot get up the courage to tell him. So, hey, it's great. Hope you're out there doing something this weekend. I'll let you know what happened at the Texas Toyota Fest. Hopefully got some good results coming out of there. As always, make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can. And please, don't forget that camera. Talk to you next Saturday. Hit me from behind. Yes, I'm gone.